And as they get closer, I see that it's Mark Hamill. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Mark Hamill. Like, I'm trying to keep my stuff together. As he walks by, he looks directly at me. And he stops and looks at me and goes, nice, Doctor Strange. Well done, Doctor Strange. And I go, thank you, every character I've ever loved or cared about.
So, inside baseball, did you pee a little?
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. Literature, movies, television, even music. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
And welcome to Breaking the Panel, where we give you all the awesome geekery that happened in the week. And we talk about the good, the bad, and the weird. I'm the Rock God of Podcasting, Charles McFall. And big, big, big things happened this week. Let's find out who survived from the big spoiler. Paul Klotz is still here with us. You survived, sir. Thank God.
Yeah.
All right. So I haven't watched it, but I'm guessing that maybe Chris Wisdom survived this week.
Yeah, I had chicken.
Good. And as always, we know he survived. Brian Ibbett. Oh, crap. He didn't survive? Damn you, Negan. But that plays right into what we want to talk about, right? Everybody's talking about The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I mean, so all anybody can talk about since this past week, we're recording this on Tuesday, the 25th of October, by the way. So it's been about, 48 hours or so since the season 7, episode 1 premiered. And of course, we've been waiting for the season to come back to find out about who's going to feel the blunt end of Lucille. And I'm not going to tell you who did, because if you haven't watched it yet, we're going to respect that and let you indulge at your leisure. But what I did want to talk about, and I wanted to get these fine gentlemen's opinions on, is I noticed a little thing coming up, a little trend on the Facebooks.
Well, before you bring that up, I've already seen the spoilers on Facebook. That's the thing. Watch the show, but I was like, really, people?
You can't. Well, actually,
that's not cool.
All right, let's talk about that first.
Okay.
So I got into a conversation with somebody about the nature of spoilers. And somebody made the point that they're like, not everybody has the disposable income to go to the movies, to, pay for a subscription, to, whatever, to be able to consume some of this stuff as it comes out. And so I made a comment. I said, with our show here, we generally do a 2-week wait on any kind of serious spoilers. Like, we might let a couple little details slip, but never anything that's going to really spoil a whole story. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we do that out of respect. We say, we understand people have busy lives, whether you have a family or a job or whatever that keeps you from maybe consuming things right as soon as it comes out. We respect that, and we're those people ourselves as well. All three of us have things that we don't always get to each week,
Dude, my record, I went a little over a year without knowing the secret to Sixth Sense. Sorry, I just went lispy on it. The Sixth Sense, that's the sequel, by the way. No, I actually made it almost a year, and then this dude came on the radio, and he's like, he didn't even say spoilers. So I'm like, well, screw you if you haven't seen it. And I got mad, and I realized, oh, crap, well, it has been over 12 months, so I guess That's fair enough.
Right. And one of my friends on Facebook made the argument that, you should wait like at least 6 months or more. And I was like,
no,
myself and a couple other people are like, the thing is, you can't. People want to talk about this stuff. People are really excited. And this will tie into the other half of this topic in a minute. But yeah, so we try to respect that. And, Walking Dead happens to be the perfect example of when I got really mad, which was 2 seasons ago. When there was a real pivotal moment in the middle of the season, it was their mid-season break episode, and AMC, shared this image that showed a huge, huge spoiler.
I remember that.
It was the big, moment of the season, of the middle of that season, and AMC put it out, and they put it out as soon as it had aired on the East Coast, and so people were sharing that image on Facebook because they put it right on their Facebook. And, at the time we were doing FTH, one of our big fans of FTH, one of our contributors in the, in the background who hit us with tons of headlines and stuff, was one of the people who shared it. And I was livid because it was like, we didn't, it's one thing to try to respect people on spoilers, but like it wasn't even 10 minutes and this shit was out there. You know, I was like, oh my God.
So all the cord cutters, all the Hulu watchers, everybody. Even the West Coast.
Yeah, well, that was what they took. That's what AMC took a tremendous amount of flack for, was they're like, the West Coast was like, you know, this hasn't aired yet, right? Like, this isn't on our TVs yet. And they're like, oh. And I'm like, you fools. Like, anyways. So, you know, it's the nature of the internet. Like, whenever there's something huge, like Walking Dead coming back, and I know there's going to be a cliffhanger, either the end of the season or the beginning of the new season, I know I have to avoid social media, at least until I get a chance to watch it. This week, I hunted it down, you know, put my eye patch on, sailed the seas of the internet, and hunted down this episode so that I could get it in right away.
Did you pull your sleeve over one hand, or have they not done that on the show? In the comic books, certain character loses his hand. But,
right.
You know, I don't think they stay true to that.
So I caught it right away, and I watched it, and it's – I'll tell you this. If you haven't watched The Walking Dead in a while, if it's not your cup of tea, that's cool. But, like, this episode was probably the most gut-wrenching, insane episode of almost any kind of TV show that I've ever seen. Like, I can't – it's definitely top five as far as, like, affecting me emotionally, but, like
– I think I can quote the great Paul Klotz and saying, he goes, I feel so empty inside. Right. So hollowed. Hollowed was the word you
used. Oh, yeah. I was like, I felt hollowed out, and it was true. The only other show that's really affected me that way recently is Game of Thrones, because I was catching up on the last two seasons of Game of Thrones recently.
Oh, that's harsh. That's hard to binge, man.
Right. Well, there's without any spoilers for that, but you know, there's a certain sad scene with a certain king and a decision he makes about one of his children, and I was just savaged by that episode. I was like, I have to stop watching this for a little while. And I felt similarly about this premiere. But we're getting away from the main point here. The main point I wanted to talk about is this show is wildly popular, right?
Yep. Of course you are. We're breaking the panel.
This show, the reality is this is the highest rated television show on TV. You know, I looked it up. There are individual sporting events, you know, like stuff like World Series, you know, Super Bowl, stuff like that might beat it on viewership overall. But no other show on TV gets as many viewers as Walking Dead does every week. And I noticed that this trend emerged of people kind of poo-pooing it on, like, social media. We were like, oh, people still watch The Walking Dead and other similarly absurd comments. And it kind of, like, brought me – I called a few people out. Not directly. I was like, you know, I'm seeing a lot of Walking Dead hipsters around here. You know, people who are too good to watch it anymore. It was so much better in season one, you know. And it, which is fine. You know, not every show is meant for every person. I respect that. I think any reasonable person gets that. I mean, I don't go into the circles of people who watch CSI and those other police procedurals and poo-poo all over them. So I kind of made the comment. I was like, you know, this is really the most popular show on TV, and we like it. Like, those of us who like it, we really like it, and there's a few reasons, you know? And there's lots of different reasons to like a show, and this show in particular, but it's like – so I kind of, like, wanted your guys' feedback. Are you seeing the same kind of things, and what's your kind of, like – response when you see this out there, whether it be Walking Dead or anything related or unrelated?
I've seen it, you know. We talked a little bit before the show, and it's stuff that I've been seeing since season two or season three. And a lot of times you can just dismiss it as people that don't understand the show, because a lot of the people that say I don't get the show are always like, well, how many seasons can they do it with a zombie show? Because they've completely missed the point in the boat. They don't understand that the show's not about the zombies. Zombies are part of the environment the same way as weather. It's just a facet of life that they have to deal with. But this is about how humanity survives and how you survive in a world with and maintain your humanity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I also chalk it up to the same people that every season, you get two or three episodes into the new SNL. And they're like, oh, Saturday Night Live, Saturday Night Dead, you know?
Yeah, every time.
Whatever. Yeah. I got time for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Chris, you bring up a great point, because what I was going to say is, you know, The Walking Dead is one of those shows that doesn't have the same writer for every episode, doesn't have the same director. you know, they bring a lot of different people in. And some episodes are a dud. I'll admit that. There have been plenty of episodes where I'm like, what just happened? Season two, I'm looking at you. Season two was kind of a unique situation, though. You know, obviously they had budget constraints. They had issues with Darabont. Whether that was valid or not, but in any case, that we're lucky that we're in episode, we're not episode, but season seven, because there was a very close point where like Walking Dead just ceased to be as a TV show, but it didn't happen. We're lucky. But yeah, you know, SNL is a great example. There are, I just watched this week's SNL and I laughed my head off for a couple of the, you know, a couple of the skits, particularly the opening and like Black Jeopardy, like that stuff was really funny. And Tom Hanks was on and it was good. And
you know, I heard he did a great job.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Tom Hanks brings a certain caliber of performance. You know, he's always going to carry. But there were a couple that were just a dud. Like they did this one with where they were like living in a, it was a family living in a community. They were planning this party thing. And, you know, Tom Hanks and his wife and his daughter had this whole like singing and dancing routine. I was like, this was like a miss. Like this was horrible. Because it like wasn't funny. It was a little bit dumb, but it wasn't funny. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's a good example. It doesn't invalidate the entire show. It doesn't mean that SNL has no worth if there's some bad skits. Even if there are bad skits week to week, that's just the nature of the beast. There have always been bad skits. Same with Walking Dead. Same with any TV show. There are bad episodes from time to time. And there are certainly some, like, because I, one of the big criticisms I've seen about Walking Dead is, oh, the writing's terrible. I'm like, eh. Sometimes, but you know, the core story is really powerful. Like that's one of the reasons I watch Walking Dead. I don't watch Walking Dead for the scares or the zombies or anything like that. I watch it for the story of humanity, the story of this group of people doing what they have to do to get through the worst possible, you know, scenario. Like it, you know, your friends, your family, they turn on you. You know what I mean? That's in both when they're alive and when they're dead, you know?
Yeah.
and that's the brutal part of the, you know, the whole Walking Dead story. And I think that's where the worth is for me. So I just kind of respond to the people who are being super negative about it. And I'm like, I get that you don't, you know, you don't get it. Like it's not your thing, but like it, this resonates for a lot of people, you know? And I think, I guess what I'm going to throw out there is maybe it's time we need to like challenge people once in a while and be like, you know, and I've done this a few times in regards to Walking Dead. I'm like, if it's not your cup of tea, that's fine. But I just don't understand why you feel the need to let everybody know that you're a special snowflake who isn't watching Walking Dead.
Right. Right. Something similar I've seen beyond that. You know, people always have to fight about things. But this guy that followed for a while, and I won't throw out his name because I don't want to cause any stupid controversy over it, but the general gist is he puts out what he thinks is funny. He also puts out stuff that's personal. You know, he was in the hospital not long ago and put out pictures of himself and talking about it and this and that and the other. He's just a person. And I don't remember what the post was, but it was funny. It was an obvious joke, which I do know there's a line between obvious jokes and ones that people just won't get. Because I've unfriended people who will post like a nice faded out picture of a goose from Top Gun and went, this guy flew 14 missions in Gulf War and this and that and the other and Donald Trump's not honoring him, those kind of things. And it's supposed to be a joke because you're supposed to recognize this goose, but everything else leads you down the rabbit hole of this is real. And a lot of people don't even understand that. And I went, I even took a second to go, I'm going to search picture of goose from Top Gun. And sure enough, that exact picture came up and I posted it to him and went, hey man, you really shouldn't be sharing stuff like this because that's a scam. Because here's the exact picture of goose. And like, and his friends piped in and was like, oh, he just didn't get the joke. And I'm like, there's no joke here. There's no joke. You wrote a path to take people down, or at least shared somebody who wrote a path that makes it all these real things that could have happened and tie into today's stuff. People don't think about a movie that, if you stop and realize, is over 25 years old. Okay, so a lot of the millennials, I hate that word. I think people are mocking, whatever. But a lot of people may not have seen that movie even. So you're not, there's no easy to find humor here. And the rest of his friends actually jumped in and backed me up. And then I unfriended him.
One of my favorite Facebook tactics is to drop the truth bomb and then unfriend.
Yeah, and then unfriend, right? But this other guy, he actually shared one that was so obviously funny. I would feel bad about the people who didn't get it, but somebody went on his post and just ripped him about how he's basically the Antichrist, and because he's leading people down this path that even though it's obviously a joke, there's some people who won't get it and this and that and the other. And talking about how truth is righteous. And I have no idea who this guy is. I literally just hit reply to him and went, dude, you do realize there's an unfollow and unfriend and or unfriend button?
Yeah.
This is unnecessary. And I actually had some people like that. And I stayed friends with the main guy. I was like, that was funny. Mm-hmm. It was an obvious joke. It's like, I don't know. It's like, come on, man. Well, the guy got that was a joke. He just,
there's
and that's
a clear
the thing.
Difference between, for like, one of my favorite memes is when somebody posts a picture of Anakin, or not Anakin, Obi-Wan, Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, and say, I bet you're not brave enough to share Jesus
yes!
on the wall. And
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, obviously that's not Jesus Christ. Like, everybody knows what Star Wars is, at least almost yeah. everybody.
Well, at first I didn't get it. I was like, ah, pass, because I saw just religion yelling at me. I was like, oh, wait, no, that's Obi-Wan. Oh, I get it. All right. So what we're doing, of course, is we're just talking about the Walking Dead. We should probably move on. But yes, to agree with you, Klotz, that people feel like they have the need to say, oh, I hate that. I would never watch that. And it's like when you're saying, oh, I love this TV show. To, oh, well, we don't even own a TV. You are a lying SOB. There's one in your pocket right now. It's called right. your phone. You know. Hey, but anyway.
Charles, yeah. man, speaking of people that have survived, I think we found somebody to add to the group.
Did we scrounge up another survivor
I
from
we
The
found
Walking
another,
Dead?
I think we found another survivor.
Okay, you sounded like you were leaning into something there.
Well, I thought you were going to take it.
Oh, all right. Well, I will take it. From being a big contributor to the Geek Girl Authority Network, which is doing gangbusters. Check him out, geekgirlauthority.com. And a lot of own projects of his own right that I'll let him talk about now. We have a special guest today to talk about the upcoming Doctor Strange movie and give us an everyman's guide and jump into some of this chat with us. Matt Key is in the house.
Hey, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can.
You can.
Oh, man, it's so weird talking to my computer. I'm living the future.
Well, this is this new thing called a podcast, Matt.
I've never heard of it. Do you just cast a lot of pods out there? What's going on? What is that?
Well, we do it here. I don't know if anybody listens, but we definitely cast pods everywhere and try to hit the side of the barn as best we can.
Yeah, man. Hey, thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm excited.
Well, I heard Matt originally on, it wasn't Neil Before Audrey. I think it's Booze and Phasers first.
Yeah, I've been on Booze and Phasers with Audrey. Yeah.
Yeah. And she went into how a huge Doctor Strange fan you were, and I went, I would love to have this guy on right before the movie.
Yeah, one of the biggest.
To talk about what we need to know about Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, like, you just want the basics right now?
Well, no, we'll get to that. I do want you to tell the guy, they haven't heard this story. Tell your Mark Hamill story. Because that is so amazing.
I am a big Doctor Strange fan, and I've got a costume that my friends Jenny and Grant made for me for my fiance, soon to be wife's birthday party a few years ago. And I do think it looks pretty damn good, if I do say so myself. And I've only worn it to Comic-Con once. And the time that I wore it, Doc Hammer from the Venture Brothers, who's a giant fan of Doctor Strange, saw me in it and complimented me on it, which was one of the greatest moments of my life. But also on that exact same day, I was in the middle of the floor. Like, I was on the floor close to like the video game area, and the crowd started like turning around and just kind of like, oh my God, who is that? Who is that? And the crowd was parting, and I was like right in the middle of the floor where like the parting was happening. And I looked up and I saw this just massive looking dude, like just broad shoulders, wearing a nice black suit, and he had like one of the little squiggly radios in his ear. And I was like, oh, he's a bodyguard. He's guarding someone. And he was like, clear path. He's kind of like clearing everyone out of the way. Everyone's excited for whoever's behind him. And as they get closer, I see that it's Mark Hamill. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Mark Hamill. Like, I'm trying to keep my stuff together. As he walks by, he looks directly at me without, I didn't wave at him. I didn't do anything. I was just like, look, I'm just a dude on the side of the, where he's going. And he stops and looks at me and goes, nice, Dr. Strange. Well done, Dr. Strange. And I go, like, without skipping a beat, and I don't know where it came from, I said, thank you, every character I've ever loved or cared about. And he just stopped and stared at me for a second and goes, nice one, dude. Nice one. And he just kept walking. And I was there with my friend Jack, who was dressed as Star-Lord. And he's like, how did you do that? And I was like, I don't know, man.
That's the Eye of Agamotto, man. It just came in play for you.
Right? Yeah, dude. It came in, man. It was the Eye of Agamotto. It must have been.
So inside baseball, did you pee a little?
A little? Yeah, you're giving me a lot of credit.
Because I know I peed a little and I wasn't involved.
It was just a little poo, but a lot of pee.
I don't know. I think I could have squeezed out a thank you. I don't know that I could have said anything like that to Mark.
No, dude, I'm telling you, it was from some place within me that I didn't know I had.
That's just beautiful. So Matt is going to ride with us here. We're going to discuss some, not really headlines, just some news, some geekable, discussable things. And we definitely have you queued in here because I wasn't sure exactly when you'd be able to make it. But we're going to get, Matt is going to fill us in with what the everyman needs to know. The people who've never really read the comics, don't know much about Doctor Strange. You want to go to see the movie coming out next weekend, right? So he is going to let you know what you need to know before you go see the movie. So that is coming up here, but
am I doing that now? You want me to do that now? Am I just going to start talking?
No. You're very excited. He loves Doctor Strange. He's ready. I will cue you, sir. I will. Right. I'll give you the Kevin Smith point the finger and let you know when you're supposed to go.
Okay. Sounds good.
But right now, everybody, you can, and by all means, Matt, jump into our conversations. We want you to be a part of all this. Share your geek, just like you did on Booze and Phasers. Just share your views and opinions on what's going on. And then, of course, we want to talk about what podcast you're running and the great stuff that you're doing over there. And we're gonna love on Matt. Big bear hugs and all that jazz.
I am not okay with that.
too late. You showed up, man. So, all right, contact us. We love to hear from you. We love getting those emails in. BTP@giantsizeteamup.com. That's B as in breaking, T as in the, P as in panel at giantsizeteamup.com. And go and help us out over on Patreon, patreon.com/breakingthepanel. Every bit you throw at us helps grow the show. Look, we scored Doctor Strange. Nobody else has the actual Doctor Strange on their show. We got him, you know, at least his body double. That'll work. I did see the picture of the costume. The
Doctor Strange.
You're the actual Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I'm the actual Doctor Strange.
You sound too happy to be the actual Doctor Strange.
No, it's an act. I'm actually terrified of everything.
And I did see a picture that was on Geek Girl Authority of the costume. I think it was there. It may have been on Facebook, but it looked spot on.
Thanks, really, man. Yeah, I'm really proud of it. I mean, I'm proud of it. I had nothing to do with it except like picking the fabric and watching other people make it, but... I am proud of it. I love wearing it. The cloak of levitation is super fun to run around in.
Nice. Chris, what is this resurrection thing you're talking about here?
Now, for the last 4 years, we have seen what we all have accepted as missteps, I think, on Marvel's part. We've seen things that we've all perceived as slights towards our merry mutants. Whether we see no Fantastic Four and X-Men on certain Marvel promotional posters, whether we see lack of promotional items, merchandising, or inclusion in video games that we like to play. And so we've all looked at this as animosity between Disney, Marvel, and Fox Studios, and Disney, Marvel not wanting to support Fox properties. Well, 2017, we're about to get to go back to a place that we all love, a world full of mutants. So in 2017, these will all be included in the show notes. I don't want to really hit all the headlines, but the main thing that we need to know is that in 2017, we're going to get an Iceman ongoing title, a Jean Grey ongoing title. And that's going to be the first time that those two characters have had their own ongoing titles. We're also going to get to see a Weapon X series. And I think the biggest news out of it is we're also going to see the return of the Blue and Gold teams, which harkens back to the 1990s Jim Lee.
Wow.
So
Yeah, I
saw that announcement and almost lost my mind.
Yes. So
I'm literally double fist pumping in the air right now. Like I'm alternating. Yeah. I'm just like, yes.
And the only thing that I want when these books hit is I really want Marvel to walk across the aisle, not to Fox, but to Dan DiDio and the guys over at DC, and Jim Lee needs to give me some new covers.
Yeah. I'll take some Jim Lee covers, yeah, man. That would be awesome. This is really cool.
X-Men from the early 90s are still some of my favorite trading cards.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. I still have all my 90s trading cards.
I was actually just looking through them last night.
No, man. This is serious, actually. My iPad cover, I searched long and hard because I wanted some kind of comic book cover for my iPad. I had to order it from China, but it is a 1990s Jim Lee cover of the Uncanny X-Men, and when you unfold it, it's a wide view of what the front and back comic look like, and I love that thing.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah. Now, I would like, if any of the listeners are caught up on Death of X and X-Men versus Inhumans, and they want to give us any input, whether it be email or whatever, or hit the speak pipe, let us know, because I haven't been following it. I'm waiting to get caught up, but this all leads into the resurrection of next year. So we all know.
Now, they're actually going to call the event that?
Yeah, the event's going to be called Resurrection, yeah. Because for what we do know is that there was a Terrigen Mist bomb, what was that, two years ago now? Or year and a half ago now? And so a cloud of Terrigen Mist is traveling the Earth. Any Inhumans in the population are, you know, they go through Terrigenesis. Mutants, however, it sterilizes them and also gives them a thing called, some sort of pox, mutant pox or M-pox. I think it's M-pox. And they die from it, essentially. It's another.
Is it M-bop, perhaps?
No.
No, it's a different M-bop affliction.
Yes, but no less severe. you know, it's what it is it's today's legacy virus, which is what it is what it is. But we will see what I think they're leading into is a way to combine them and possibly make mutants into de facto Inhumans. And I don't know if that's going to be a way for them to skirt around copyright and existing contracts with Fox or not.
So you're thinking they might be trying to set a legal path.
I think
to
so.
Getting mutants into the TV and movies.
I think what happens is if from this point forward, if all mutants are Inhumans, then that clause in the Fox contract of any new mutants that are created automatically are theirs automatically for film and TV rights. Well, sorry, they're Inhumans. They're not mutants.
Wow. That would be something else if they're actually able to pull that off. Man, that brings up such a interesting legal discussion about, the law can be that way, right? It can be so silly sometimes of, well, we did it this way. We changed the A to an O, and that was enough that legally we don't have to give you your money. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like, no, that's a mutant. And, you know, well, I mean, they haven't dealt with this yet in the courts.
Well, it's funny because there's some ancillary precedents out there for it. And it's Marvel's doing, too. I want to say it was an export. Or an import, either import or export law, that if you were making action figures, human action figures, that came from China, I want to say you had to pay a certain tariff or import tax.
Oh, yeah.
Marvel said, well, that's cool. That's a great law, but these aren't human action figures. These are mutant action figures. And they did not have to pay the tax.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they did some, like, legal maneuvering so that they didn't have to pay the tax. They weren't considered humans.
Yep.
That's amazing. Oh,
wow. Right? So those are the minds.
It's like, wow. Nice job.
Those are the minds that are bringing you this new storyline. So
wow.
I'm excited to see what 2017 brings. Yeah.
That is exciting. So before we jump on, you know what? I want to talk about what else is exciting. I love my Loot Crate. I love getting it every month. It's an amazing box. Comes with a lot of cool stuff. There's different versions, right? There's Firefly out there. They just did a WWE Slam box. Those kind of things. And you can get the fashion Loot Wear box, whatever. But we know the theme. We all want to know what the theme is, right? So the theme for November is get your wands ready, pre-measure your positions, and get ready for November's enchanting theme, Magical. We've cast a powerful ancient spell to deliver you this 100% exclusive crate, which is, that's a new thing. Because a lot of times it's only one or two items that is exclusive. This particular loot crate is 100% exclusive, featuring items from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Big Trouble in Little China, plus a whole lot more. You've got until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, to subscribe and get November's crate. So make sure you head over to lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up. Enter code giant-size-team-up to save $3 off any new subscription today. This is going to be some cool stuff, so definitely give that a check out.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to sign up for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because you're in it, you know, you have to.
No, I know. I need to see if they're representing me correctly.
Well, you know, speaking of you being Dr. Strange, why don't you go ahead and lay down what I know a little bit about it. I don't know what Klotz or Wisdom knows about it, but what do we need to know about Dr. Strange before we go see the movie?
Oh, man, you are. I don't know if you're asking the right person or the wrong person.
Well, to be a bad dancer, you have to be a great dancer. So I'm assuming that you can give us the simple version since you know the in-depth version.
Okay. So the short version is he is an arrogant jerk of a neurosurgeon who is more than aware of his talents and how rare they are. And he decides to exercise that for both fame and exceptional wealth instead of the good of humanity. Then he is involved in a terrible accident that destroys his hands. And since his hands have to be able to navigate very tiny and very precise spaces within the brain, he can no longer be the neurosurgeon that he was. So he burns through his entire savings and all of his wealth in attempts to find a cure for his hands, to fix his hands, and nothing will fix his hands. There's not a cure for the nerve damage that's done to his hands. And he finally hears about his very, very, very last option is this strange person that he's heard about called the Ancient One, somewhere in like the Nepal, Tibet area of the Himalayas. So he spends his very, 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 very last dime to go find this Ancient One, only to discover that the Ancient One actually is a sorcerer. And he, as a man of science, does not believe in sorcery. So he's like, y'all are crazy. This ain't a thing. I don't believe you. But he's kind of at the top of a mountain and has nowhere else to go. This is the comic book version.
Sure, okay.
So he decides to stick around for a day or two until he can figure out his next move. They're more than willing to let him stay there. And in the time that he's there, he discovers, oh, magic is real. Baron Mordo was a jerk. The Ancient One is actually a very powerful sorcerer. I think I want to learn these things. So it's from there that Doctor Strange goes on to become the Sorcerer Supreme. Baron Mordo is one of the big bads. Dormammu is one of the big bads. There's other wizards and sorcerers that kind of come and go. But that is the basic Doctor Strange. That's the origin story.
Now, from the trailers,
yeah,
is, and I'm not sure if I got my character straight, but from the trailers, doesn't it appear to be that Baron Mordo is going to be a teammate with Doctor Strange in this particular episode?
In the original run, the Stan Lee Steve Ditko run, the mid 60s, Baron Mordo was the first bad guy, the first main nemesis that Doctor Strange had. His first bad guy was actually Nightmare in Strange Tales 110, but then in Strange Tales, I think 113, Baron Mordo made his first appearance and has been around ever since. And he was just a straight arch. It seems like in this, and from interviews that Scott Derrickson has done, I think Baron Mordo will eventually turn bad, but he starts off as a friend, and that's going to make that relationship that much harder. Some of the more recent sort of incarnations of the origin story, like alternate universe sorts of tellings and stuff, have seen Baron Mordo as a very tough tutor and teacher initially, who has ambitions to become the Sorcerer Supreme on his own. And he becomes exceptionally jealous when Doctor Strange is given that title. Though he is a straight arch in the comics typically,
That sounds like such a four-letter insult. You're being such a straight arch, Klotz.
Arch, you're such an arch. You son of an arch. You mother archer. It seems in the cinematic universe, he's taken a much more nuanced approach to the character and saying, like, he starts off as a bit of a friend, as a tutor, as an ally, but over the course of Doctor Strange's training, Baron Mordo's relationship with him, whatever's going on with the Ancient One, something happens to turn Baron Mordo. Maybe we'll see that in this film. I haven't seen it yet. I'm actually not going to get to see it until opening night.
The rest of us mere mortals.
No, I know. But what's funny is that I've been offered to see it a few times, just because of my podcasts and stuff, and stuff that I do with Screen Junkies. But I can't, like, because I'm planning for a wedding, and I can't afford the time.
I'll go. You tell, yeah, right. tell me when. I'll take your seat.
there is also something, like, I'm going with a very large group of friends on opening night. To the El Capitan and down here. And that's going to be it's going to be really special. So I'm actually really excited that I get to do it that way.
Good.
That's awesome. Now that's true love, that you're planning the wedding and you're turning down your dream, essentially, to be recognized as a podcaster enough to be invited to go see this thing early. And as a fan, just to see it the earliest possible second you can see it, you're having to say no. Because you love the woman you love and you're getting married.
I love her, man. I'm not going to go see it without her.
I think he's planning 12 moves ahead. That's what I think it is. Either way, that's good on you.
don't blow my cover, bro. With Baron Mordo, though, I think probably we'll start to see hints of his turn in this film. But there's absolutely, like, especially with the reviews that it's getting, the positive reaction it seems to be getting already. The contract that they have with Cumberbatch, last I saw, was like includes 10 films.
That's not just standard Marvel contract,
but
right?
10 appearances as Doctor Strange, right. I think. Uh-huh. And we already know he's going to be in Infinity War. He's probably going to show up in a couple of the other films, like Captain Marvel or Guardians or something like that. The Ant-Man sequel. So it can be surmised that there's definitely going to be a Doctor Strange sequel in a few years. And I think that film will definitely see Baron Mordo as the bad guy.
As a fan,
yeah.
What's the one thing you really hope to see that you haven't seen in the trailers yet?
That's a great question. It's more of a hearing. I really very badly want to hear Doctor Strange scream out by the hoary hosts of Hoggoth.
Yes.
That's the catchphrase that Doctor Strange is best known for. That along with, I really want them to summon like the extra dimensional energies. And I know that that's how magic works in this universe. I've already read stuff about that. But I really want to hear him, scream out like by the crimson bands of Sitarak and winds of Watum and stuff like that. Like, I'm really excited to see that. I saw the IMAX VIP experience a couple weeks ago that they did around the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was hoping to see was just like the trippiest visuals ever. And that's exactly what they showed. Like, they showed visuals that I legitimately did not understand what I was seeing. Like, and I mean that as a compliment, not as a, what are you guys doing? But as a, how did you guys do this? I don't understand the imagination, let alone how you accomplished it, and that's exactly what Doctor Strange is supposed to be. He's going to dimensions that with a reality that make no sense to us.
For me, my money's on the reality gem, but I've been seeing other people think time gem. Do you have an opinion on either? For the eye.
I think we've already seen the reality gem. I'm trying to remember where we saw that. I think the reality, what was it? I'm thinking, so we've seen the space gem and the mind gem. We've seen the power gem. I think maybe the reality gem was in Thor Dark World. I think that was supposedly the ether.
No, the ether was power.
Guardian was power. Guardians of the Galaxy was definitely power.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Blew up the place?
Yeah, that blew up the planets. That was definitely the power gem. I do know that. So I think the reality gem was the ether. I think that's why Malekith wanted it so badly, because he could rewrite everything. He could rewrite the entire history of what had happened and right all the wrongs that he felt he had been slighted. And I do know that even as far back as last October, there were rumors that Doctor Strange was going to play with time in some way.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a rumor last October that pegged Caecilius as being a bad guy. So when they announced Mads Mikkelsen as Caecilius, I was like, wasn't that a rumor like back in October? Like, why are we surprised by this? But like people had just forgotten about it. It was like this little bitty rumor that kind of fell under the radar.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. Yeah, it was the Reality Stone was the ether. Yep, I completely forgot about that.
I really wanted Doctor Strange to be playing with the Soul Stone, or the Soul Gem rather. But I really think it's going to be the Time Stone. And in all honesty, just in my opinion, I kind of don't like that the Eye of Agamotto is a Time Stone. I feel like that robs the relic of its magic. So hopefully they find a way around that, because they don't want the magic to be completely based in some like, you know, cosmic singularity.
Well, right. and that's to me for the MCU's continuity that Thor has already addressed that. He's like, you know, what you people call magic, we call science. And it's all just, you know, it's from where your perception is. So I wondered how they were going to get around that with this movie when they're going all in and saying, no, magic exists, but you've already answered that in a movie previous too.
Well, he didn't say there's no such thing as magic. He just said what we called magic.
Was no, right, right. It's based on understanding, but yeah.
I do know that like so when they did the set visits back in like March or whatever, and they finally were able to release the news, the articles and set visit reports in October, I think a lot of the set visits had quotes from Kevin Feige and from Scott Derrickson, the film's director, that were kind of almost opposed to each other. And I feel like this film is the balance of those two approaches. Is that Kevin Feige said that he loves the magic being based in some semblance of a scientific explanation. Like quantum realities, quantum, you know, chemistry and physics and such like that. Whereas Scott Derrickson, he said, no, I want magic to be magic. I don't want there to be an explanation for it. So I think that this film is going to find a balance in between those two things where, yes, some of the things that Doctor Strange is doing is manipulating quantum probabilities and various quantum properties. But I do also think that there's an element of, but we don't know how we did that. Like, you know, I do think that there's still going to be some mystery behind all of it, so that it's not all explained, you know. So, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. I've had a few friends who have gone to see it who are saying, you know, like they just can't believe how magic is portrayed, you know, like, and I even had
one friend. Sounds good.
I had one friend who said, with all due respect to Harry Potter, who showed magic incredibly well and had a lot of fun stuff, this is what magic should look like. And that has me like, and I love the Harry Potter franchise. I love those films. I've read those books a few times. But you know, if I had to choose one to take to a desert island, I'm taking Doctor Strange. So to hear that, made me feel good, you know, so.
All right. Tell us about your podcast real quick.
Oh yeah. I do a show called Marvel Movie News. I was actually, that's why I was running a little bit behind on this today, because I was still coming back from that. We shoot in North Hollywood on Tuesdays. But yeah, that's on the Popcorn Talk Network, which is a satellite network to AfterBuzz Studios. We talk Marvel every Tuesday. We're live on YouTube every Tuesday at 11 Pacific Standard Time. And then we also live on iTunes and various other places where you can get podcasts. So Marvel Movie News. We've been doing it for 2 years now. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds like an awesome experience. Yeah. I know you get to work with a whole lot of people, but you also write for the Geek Girl Authority.
I do, and I'm their comic book contributor.
Yeah, and I know when this trailer first hit, you put up a really good, really long piece about your excitement about it.
I can't help but write long when it comes to Doctor Strange. But it just can't help it. But thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I have a lot of fun writing for that site. Audrey's been a good friend. She's one of the first friends I ever made in Los Angeles. So when she had this website, it was a no-brainer for me to jump in and write for her.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of fun, you know. What's up?
Real quick. I feel like Doctor Strange is going to run into a problem that some of the other Marvel movies haven't run into, and hopefully you can help me figure out how they're going to get around this problem.
I will do my best.
Porn parody title. I mean, it's ready made. I don't know where they're gonna go.
Besides, where are you going, Chris?
Besides Doctor Strange. I mean, it's already there, right? So, where So where does Vivint go?
What is the porn parody title for Dr.
What would it be?
It's already so hard baked in.
Yep.
I don't know.
Right?
I think maybe they just maybe change it to Strange Doctor.
There you go. I can see that.
Or the Doctor of Strange.
Doctor of the Strange.
Yeah, so he's going to go back to Marvel Movie News. Like, I was on this dumbass show asking what the porn parody title is of Doctor Strange. Oh, man.
Up in the difficulty level. You know?
We know what our audience likes.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
We know our people.
apparently they like porn titles.
They do indeed. Well, Matt, I know you have to take off, but I definitely appreciate you giving us your time.
It sounds like I'm just making excuse after excuse, but I've got to go create what are the centerpieces for the wedding now.
tell me somehow you're incorporating Doctor Strange into the decorations for your wedding.
Do you want to know the honest truth?
Well, no, because that means you're not doing anything you're just doing.
No, I am. I am.
Yeah. What you got?
So we have, we're getting a cake, but the cake isn't big enough to feed everybody because we have about 200 people coming. So the cake is for like just immediate family and the wedding party. But then we're getting our friend Jenny Ray owns her own business called Lil Ray Cakes. And she makes cake balls and they're the best cake balls you've ever had in your life. And we are making cake balls with the seal of the Vishanti on them.
Oh, that's cool.
So cool.
otherwise known as the Anomaly Rue. I believe that's what Steve Ditko called it. But it's become known, more commonly known as the seal of the Vishanti. It's a protective spell. And the window that he has in the Sanctum Sanctorum, when it has the Anomaly Rue or the seal of the Vishanti on it, he refers to that as the window of the worlds. So there's three different names for that one symbol.
Wow. That's cool.
How exceptionally nerdy I am.
But I do, being as big a fan and a nerd as you are, you had to work it in somewhere, and that's really cool.
And what makes it even better is that my fiance had the suggestion. She was like, hey, what if we did this? And I was like, yes. She is definitely the best girl in the world.
That's sounds like awesome.
It. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Any more Dr. Strange questions before I take off?
No, but we might have to have you back on after we've seen it, after we do our 2 weeks before spoilers and get your thought on it and maybe have some questions then going, I don't understand what happened. All right. Well, thank you for coming on and go make that woman happy because she's a good one. You got to keep her. Well, in other sad news, because it's sad that Matt's leaving. It also happened the other day that Steve Dillon passed away at 54. Klotz, who is that for people who don't know?
Steve Dillon is a comic book artist best known for Preacher, which was recently adapted for television. Sad news. It's kind of rocking the comic community, the creator community. He was well regarded as being a master at his craft in the fact that he could portray characters that with just a look on their face could kind of sell the whole scene. You know what I mean? So a big part of the visual excitement around Preacher. And unfortunately he passed away quite early at 54. The report is from his former partner on Preacher, Garth Ennis, said that he had appendicitis that mistakenly assumed it was food poisoning. So we can't really verify the accuracy of that other than that is what has been reported. But I will say, you know, keep that in mind. I mean, he was a young man and still a young man and, unfortunately passed. If that's true, that's the kind of thing you don't want to really play around with. So if you ever feel pretty yucky, go see a professional and get it sorted. It's better that you do just in case it's something like that. This is tough because this is a bit of a legend in the industry, so real sad.
Yeah.
On a quick side note, screw 2016, man. Like, this
right?
year, I cannot remember a year in my adult life where we have lost more great people, especially artists, especially incredible artistic people You know, it's just like, I don't know, maybe, you know, the Cubs won the pennant and going to the World Series with the
Indians.
maybe everything's coming to an end. You know? maybe
that is the apocalypse that was foretold.
Yeah, I'm not I'm not what you would consider a religious man, but perhaps this is the rapture. They're taking all the good ones now.
Well, so then should we implore AMC at this point no mid-season break for Walking Dead?
Right, yeah,
so
yeah,
as far into it as possible.
So 2016 has sucked, both on a wide scale level that, you know, people that are, you know, kind of world famous or at least famous in their communities. And also, I don't know about you guys, but for me, on a personal level, lost a few people this year. It just sucks. So, yeah. You know, our condolences go out to anybody who's been affected, particularly in regards to Mr. Dillon. So,
some of his great work, he's done issues of Judge Dredd, mm-hmm. The Wanderers for DC, Animal Man, Hellblazer, which was a really good run on Vertigo, Hellraiser. Of course, Preacher, that we said. Some of the stuff he's done for Marvel, Ultimate X-Men. He's worked on Punisher Marvel Knights a couple times. Bullseye, Punisher versus Bullseye. So he's been all over the place. I knew I saw his name before, so I went and looked up his, besides Preacher. I mean, I know he's my boy on Preacher, but I want to look at his other work. He's done a lot of other stuff. I knew with his partnership with Garth Ennis that he did a lot of work on Punisher, a lot of great, great stuff. So definitely his influence is going to be missed. And if you only heard the beginning of the show where we're talking about his sense of humor, we got it. We got his sense of humor.
Yeah. Sure here.
And well, we got some other cool stuff now to talk about. But if you go to facebook.com/breakingthepanel, you'll already know about some of this stuff. And we like to cover all things geeky. Well, Pokemon has two different events going on right now. Pokemon Go starting October 26th. Now, it's going to be a little bit behind on the podcast, right? Because this was just announced. But you got to follow the pages, Breaking the Panel on Facebook. And, of course, you can follow Pokemon Go podcast on Facebook as well. But their Pokemon Go will have a free candy event because it's Halloween in America, and that's what we do. And everything in that game is based on trading candies. Basically, it's going to be 2-for-1. And actually, I think trading into the trainer will actually get 4 instead of 1 candy. But essentially, from October 26th through the 31st, you will get extra candy in that game for capturing Pokemon, for trading in Pokemon, for evolving, for anything that you do that involves candy. You'll get extra candies during that event. Then in the real world events, this is one I know Klotz is excited about. I am. I'm taking my daughter and going and collecting for both of us. But there's going to be 2 Pokemon Trade and Collect events at Toys R Us throughout the world. So see if you can find your local store. And the link will be in the show notes. And it is on facebook.com/breakingthepanel. But October 30th is Sunday from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And it's at all Toys R Us stores. You'll receive a free Charmander foil card, which is a throwback to the original. It's got, looks like the original 90s art. It's got the basic diamond on the top of it. What am I thinking of? When you think of something nostalgic, it's a nostalgic card.
Well, yeah, that ties into the new set that's coming out. Generations is, they're going back to the, some of the original Generation 1 stuff. And so the new set for the card game is all about that old school stuff. So
I got you. Yeah, this is definitely right in there.
They're updating the game mechanics, the stats and stuff on them so that they're, you know, viable in the modern format. But they're definitely harkening back to the old school stuff. So
yeah, because this Charmander is just really low. I mean, 60, if it's the one they're showing on their website, which I can't imagine it's going to be different, 60 HP. It says level 10, you know, as the old school does. It gives his number 004 lizard Pokemon. All that stuff's on the card. Scratch does 10. Ember does 30. And he has to discard a fire energy. It's like, wow, that's kind of in my playing style, that's a really worthless card. But it's fun to collect it. So you can get that for free along with a Pokemon TCG collector's album on the 30th. Then on November 20th, so you got now from this podcast, you have plenty of time to plan for this next one. November 20th, there's Electabuzz foil also in the nostalgic style. Pokemon TCG collector's album and a Pikachu poster. Plus, if you get there early, the first 50 attendees will receive a free Pokemon figure, which is very cool. Now, the other thing, if you're interested in these kind of geek things, these kind of fun things, if you're interested in Legos, you should always be looking for events that Toys R Us is doing, because this isn't just for kids. This is definitely for adults. And this is a trading event, so you can go and trade with strangers and people. And that's big for me in my area, because we don't have groups that collect and play Pokemon. It's all amateurs, if you will. I know it's all individuals. So to have an event like this that we can go to and take our cards, mine and my daughter's cards, and be able to trade, it's really cool. So you can definitely go do that. But October has been Bricktober for Toys R Us. So every Saturday in the month of October for ages 6 and up, you do not have to have a kid. You don't look weird if you don't have a kid. If you love Legos, you could have gone all this month, every Saturday this month, to a Toys R Us, built random things, brought home. I know my wife took my kids and went, and they brought home just big things that they built for free. And you know, there's those booster kits you can get, Klotz, right? You're into Legos, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. I know my friend Nolan is really into it, but I know there's little kits you can just buy of just random in stores, random Legos. I know you can go to Lego stores and have individual pieces, but they actually sell little, essentially, booster kits. This was like 5 of those for free. You know, just had a huge, massive thing you pulled from, and you built whatever you wanted. Okay, take it home. Thanks, kids.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And then all throughout the – then at the end of the month, you get to a specific build, which is going to be Saturday, October 29th from noon to 2, which, again, is probably a little late for this podcast, but it has been posted on our Facebook page. So definitely, if you're following us there, you will get these heads up in time. You're going to build a Frankenstein specifically. So they're going to give you an actual kit to build a Frankenstein monster and bring that home as well. So cool stuff going on. We'll try to keep you up to date as best we can. But, you know, it does take following the Facebook to get it a lot faster than just the podcast. And then one last thing I want to announce before we get some really, really exciting news to talk about.
Real quick. To piggyback on what you were just saying, mm-hmm. If you're out there and you're into something that, you know, is anywhere in the realm of the stuff that we cover here, whether it be, you know, gaming or, you know, stuff like Legos or anything like that, if you hear of an event like this and you want us to, like, get it out there, get the word out, by all means, hit us up, you know, send it, either email it into us or hit us up on the Breaking the Panel Facebook page, and we will, you know, we'll share the article or whatever that talks about this kind of stuff, because we love to, like, let the community know about awesome opportunities. So, you know, hit us up.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing is, the producer of this show, Mike Woodard, he makes us sound great. He puts all the fun stuff together. He is amazing. He's done this show, From the Helicarrier, Pokemon Go. I know there's been some others I can't think of off the top of my head that he's been working on actively. He does this stuff for us. He's amazing. His birthday is coming up in 2 weeks, and we want to give you the opportunity to say thank you to him. If you love his work, which is what makes us sound great, by all means, say happy birthday to him, Mike Woodard, on Facebook. You can find him through Breaking the Panel and other places. But if you want to give him something, go to Breaking the Panel on Facebook. I made a post with his birthday list. Or you can just PayPal directly to me if you just want to donate to him moving. He is trying to move and get to a new place and do more awesome work for Giant Size Team Up. So if you feel so inclined, go check it out there, because we love Mike and we want to take care of him. And I know I'm going to get some really cool stuff, but the best thing I can do is use my influence and let other people know about how awesome he is. So check that out. Now, Mike, actually, speaking of Mike Klotz, he's the one who posted about this that I saw, and it made me very happy. What is it that you want to tell us all about?
He wants to tell you that Donald Glover is playing Lando Calrissian.
That sounded a whole lot like Abed and Troy in the Morning.
I hope it did. Yeah, it was bad.
But no.
I preferred Donald Glover as young Lando. But
there you go. That actually was
good. Yeah. So Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, is now a.k.a. Young Lando in the upcoming Han Solo, Young Han Solo solo flick. So, yeah, you know, he didn't get to be Spider-Man, but this is pretty exciting.
It is. It is. God, he is. And as far as this casting, he is the next generation Billy Dee Williams. How do you love that?
I don't know if that's like a compliment or not.
I think it's good. I mean, Billy D's cool.
Don't get me wrong, but he hasn't exactly had a thriving career since Lando.
So. Well, okay, when you betray your best friend and turn him over to Darth Vader, you're never going to work in Hollywood again. It just that's the way it works.
I think this is cool though. This is exciting casting. It'll be great to see him, you know, on the big screen. Of course, he's killing it right now. I'm hearing nothing but great things about his series Atlanta. I haven't checked it out yet, but it's like, from what I understand, it's quite good. So, I'm a big fan of Donald Glover. All right. He was great on Community. He left Community a little bit before it kind of imploded, to go pursue his music career as Childish Gambino. I will say this much about his lyrics as Childish Gambino. They are poetry, but they're not the cleanest poetry, and I don't always agree with everything that he's saying. But what I really like about Donald Glover is that he is honest. You know, like his music is honest, his performances are honest. You know, he puts himself out there, and he's a unique person. So I'm a big fan of his, and I'm really happy to see him get a big opportunity like this, because I'd really like to see him on the screen again. Killing it, you know, doing awesome stuff. So this is great.
Yeah, I was very, very excited about this. Chris, what do you think, man?
I couldn't be more excited when I saw that news. At this point, I don't care who Han Solo is.
Well, that's funny. I thought we already knew who he was.
Does it matter?
Well, no, it really doesn't. It really doesn't.
I mean, Donald Glover just sold my ticket, so I mean, you know.
Right. All right, we've got to pay the bills, as we always do. We got this quick ad for you to listen to. Thank you for listening to it. And we're going to be back to talk about some exciting speed round, a ton of things coming out in 2017 that's got us excited. Well, it's got me excited. I'm going to make the boys come along for the ride. So check this out. We'll be back in just a moment. And we're back. That's my best WKRP rock and roll impression right there. For those of you youngins who don't know, Google it. Look it up on YouTube, WKRP in Cincinnati, man. It was awesome. It was really good. I remember watching it as a kid. Anyway, trailers abound. So lots of fun stuff. Some we know about, some I didn't know about, and we might go a little long on some. It might just go, yeah, that was cool. But I'm just going to speed round it, right? Resident Evil 6, the final chapter. I'm a huge fan of the Resident Evil series. Well, it will never win an Emmy, ever. It's cheesy as all get out.
On a TV show. You mean an Oscar?
Well, it won't win an Emmy either. So.
No, it really won't.
It's not going to win a Grammy either.
Nope. Not going to win a Tony.
No. Well, it might. They could bring it to Broadway. That would be something else.
Can I just comment on the absurdity of calling this Resident Evil the final chapter? They already had Apocalypse, okay? Like, that was supposed to be the last Resident Evil. And here we are, yet again.
Resident Evil 7 will be We Mean It This Time.
I mean, she's going to be walking around with literally with a walker soon enough. You know what I mean? Like an old person. Oh, I'm going to kick all your zombie butts.
Now, here's how are they going to bring Mike Epps back into this one?
Oh, I don't know.
Or was it Omar?
No, it was Mike Epps.
No, it was Mike Epps. But who's the tall, handsome-looking guy.
The dude from the Mummy.
It's Omar something, I think. Anyway, or you think they're going to bring some new, other than Mila Jovovich, which I love her.
I think she's just going to kick some serious ass.
I hope so, man. I don't care. They've sold my ticket. They just said, boom, it's coming. I'm like, boom, right. I'm there. I'm going to watch it.
I want to talk about this and the next one in your list here, because the upcoming Underworld film is listed right below this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here's my thing about these. Like, I grew up, like, once I was, like, a teenager and beyond, the Resident Evil movies started coming out. I distinctly remember the first Resident Evil coming out at, like, my senior year or something like that of high school. The Underworld movies and the Resident Evil movies, these are not, you know, Oscar material masterpieces. But there's still a lot of fun, and it's going to be nice to see some stuff on the docket that is just fun, you know, dumb fun, popcorn and beer action.
Yeah.
I think like with the whole superhero explosion and the amount of pressure and everything that's on, you know, any kind of superhero or like comic book related property, it's going to be really nice to see something that can be a little less, you know, realistic, a little less believable and just absurd and fun. And I'm a fan of both franchises. I love Underworld. Underworld is like one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite guilty pleasures, even though it's like just a shade, like a pubic hair away from being like Twilight. You know what I mean? But like,
wow,
it's still a guilty pleasure of mine.
Well, here's my both my love and my disdain for this movie circles around one thing. It's almost serious, and then it's cheesy. It just does this ebb and flow throughout the whole film of. I kind of wanted to pick one, although I'm with you, Klotz. Me and you, we'd be just best buddies sitting there watching the crap out of this film. I love it. But there's moments where I even look at my wife going, yeah, not great. Oh, wait, okay, now that was great, though. I mean, it goes really quickly that way in these films. You know, as physically, pretty much physically impossible as this seems to be, her just taking her dual pistols and shooting a hole around herself and dropping through the floor.
Yeah.
I like stood up and cheered in the theater. You know, it was just like, yeah, dumb as crap, but loved it. Yep. What about you, Chris? Are these things ringing with you, or are you just going to sit back and mock us?
No, you're good. Once he said guilty pleasure, I couldn't get on board because I love these movies. There's nothing guilty about the...
Yeah, I have no guilt about it.
From Underworld.
Yeah.
Maybe the impure thoughts, the impure thoughts that I think about Kate Beckinsale and Wet Leather, but...
Easy, boy. Easy. But again, both of those definitely are in the... They're cheese, but they're fun. They added Allie Lauder, is that her name?
Larder.
Allie Lauder, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, she was like one of the worst things about Heroes. Didn't like what? I didn't like her.
I think Allie is a talented actress that just gets lots of bad projects.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, but I don't know. I just didn't really – I don't think she does as well in Resident Evil as she could have. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know who else I could have gotten, but, I mean, she does fine. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. All right, so the one we know, the title you hate, or no, the Batman's title you hate, Logan. We've got to see the trailer now. What do you guys think?
That's the Wolverine I know and love.
So I'm really
the excited. One who says no all the time. No, the Malcolm along. No,
I am tremendously excited about the Logan trailer because it has a completely different tone from all of the other Fox mutant movies. And I like that. I'm really excited to see what they do with it because I think it's going to be a nice departure, at least how it looks so far. I've always found that as much as I enjoy X-Men and I enjoy the X films to a certain degree, they do tonally fall a little bit flat at times. And I'm hoping that this one doesn't. And I'm pretty sure at this point that everybody is so aware of how horrific Origins was that we'll never see anything quite bad again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think it's really important that this be a great capstone to the almost 20 years of service that Hugh Jackman has given us.
And
I've talked about this on BTP before, but I have on FTH, I'm pretty sure. The amount of work that goes in to becoming the physical specimens that these guys go through, particularly Hugh Jackman for Wolverine, is astounding. Like they put their body through hell to get into shape for these movies. And so, you know, I'm glad to see a little bit of a different take for this one. I'm really excited to see, you know, how they sunset this whole thing and pass the torch. Cause I mean, it's very clearly set up to pass the torch in the trailer, right?
Yeah. That's what I felt too.
Yeah.
Who's the girl? Do we know? Do we have any guesses?
Well, it's gotta be X-23.
Yeah.
I can see that. There was another girl in one of the lines that I read, one of the Marvel lines that I read, that could change reality.
That's cute. That's Kubik. No, that's the chick that's responsible for this whole Captain America or Steve Rogers, Agent of Hydra. But this is Laura Kinney, because I'm pretty sure she's even attributed on IMDb as Laura Kinney.
Right.
That would be X-23.
It's really important if Hugh Jackman's going to retire as the character, that they pass the torch, and it's going to tie in with what they're doing in the comic books as well, since the torch was recently just passed, because X-23 is now known as the Wolverine. So this is a good setup for that going forward. And I really like that they're getting ahead of it. You know what I mean? So, because ideally, I think we're going to see that this film is, you know, her as a kid, little kid. And then obviously she'll probably get her own film in the future, or she'll be in the next X film or something like that. So they'll find a way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is exciting stuff, though. Tonally very different from the other stuff we've seen. But I'll tell you what's not at all totally different from stuff we've seen before is the next one on the list, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Ooga shaka. Ooga shaka. Yeah. Oh, what do you guys think about them using the same song for this trailer?
I was okay with it. And
I squeed in my pants a little bit. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though it's just a teaser, it looks so good.
Okay, to talk a little bit about the trailer – there's the one scene where Drax is talking to Star-Lord.
Yes. Hashtag need a hug.
And he's just like, Drax is like,
you need to find someone pathetic like you.
Honestly, not everyone's a dancer. And Gamora's not a dancer. You need to find someone pathetic like you. I died. I just started laughing hysterically.
When I saw that one, I felt bad. Cause like, oh, in that scene, I'm Star-Lord and Drax's clots. That's how you are. Like, no, you need to find a better director than Michael Bay. Not everybody just likes to blow up stuff, man. You need a hug.
Can I just say that Dave Bautista is a gem that is like just starting to get polished. Like,
yes,
I was saying this to a friend of mine. I was like, I really, really want to see him just have a runaway movie career now. Like, I want to see him in everything. Now, I want to see him in everything. Like I mentioned, I compared him to The Rock. I was like, you know, because they have the wrestling background, and obviously one of their big appeals for both of them is physique. But Dave just has such a personality. You know what I mean? And I really want to see that more going forward. And I'm really excited if he's going to do more movies, you know, outside of even Marvel. Like, because he's just killing it, man. And, like, he does a lot of social media stuff, and he just seems great. You know what I mean? So, I'm a big fan, and he just makes me laugh, man. Makes me laugh a lot.
Yeah, he's really cool. Of course, we know we talked about Doctor Strange earlier. Are we all going opening weekend?
I'm going to do what I can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I got to go ahead and schedule for the – okay, so if you're new to the show, one of the things we do is we go watch the movie with as many hosts as we can on the network, and then we try to schedule a night that everybody can get together, and that becomes an episode of Breaking the Panel where spoiler-filled – you know, we do a little bit of like 10, 15 minutes of non-spoiler. Here's our take on the movie. And then we just talk about it because that's what you want to do. When you see something, you want to talk about it with other people who have seen it. But we give you the opportunity to choose when you see it, to listen to it after you've seen it. And that's something we're going to set for Doctor Strange. We're going to have that going on for sure. Now, what about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is the new Harry Potter / not really Harry Potter film? It's set before. I saw that in the trailer today.
It's set before Harry Potter. And it's set in America. So we're going to get
that. It's got Bullseye in it. That's pretty awesome, right?
So, real talk, I'm not the biggest fan of Harry. I enjoyed the Harry Potter films. I didn't read any of the books. I read a little bit of the first one, like just browsed it. What I will say, though, is if this is anywhere near to the quality of the original films, I say original, there was a bunch of them, and, you know, they weren't that long ago, but a ways ago. If they hold to that quality, this will be a fun film, whether you're a huge Harry Potter fan or not. And I think that's what we can look forward to, is a really well-crafted, entertaining spectacle. As far as the story or whatever's going on, I really couldn't.
Oh, yeah. I don't know anything about the story. The one thing I loved about the Harry Potter films, and that's why I marveled at what Matt's friend said, because I remember watching those. My wife was into it. My kids got into it. I'm like, yeah, okay, the story's okay, but I'm looking at a world.
Yeah.
Literally, with my eyes, I'm looking at a world that magic exists, and it looks like it exists. It looks practical. It looks real. And I love that about the cinematography of the films. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's why I like the idea of Fantastic Beasts, just for that.
That is something that they accomplished. Like, Rowling is not the best author. I mean, she's wildly successful. I think she's one of the most successful authors.
That doesn't mean you're great.
But, you know, she's been criticized. I always harken back to the Harold Bloom review of the first Harry Potter book and how he was just like, you know, people are going to argue that this will encourage children to read, and you know, that's not, you know, really that shouldn't be the purpose. Basically, he was saying, you know, if you want to encourage children to read, you know, go to Kipling, go to a number of other, you know, legendary authors who have written great books in the past. Those should be what kids are exposing themselves to because they're crafted very well. But that being said, Rowling created a very interesting world. Like, she adopted a lot of things and merged things and did everything. And in that, I love world building. I'm a big fan of world building. Part of it comes from my gaming and, you know, like role playing background and stuff like
yes.
that. But another, like, 'cause I'm a huge Tolkien fan, you know, for the same reason. But like, they captured that. They brought her world to the screen, and she does have an interesting, cool world. She did some really cool stuff with that, and they captured that. So I think they're going to do that again, and I think that's exciting. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to expand on it too, which is nice, because we're not going to get more of the same. We're going to get to see a whole new take with America.
I said America.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're going to
America.
We're going to get to see those cultural differences within a different culture. You know, the magical culture.
Yeah, we don't call them muggles around here, boy.
And I like that set before the Harry Potter, so it's previous stories. So even for the Harry Potter fans, the deep fans, maybe we'll have some Easter eggs in there. Oh, they referenced this in the book as that, you know, so on and so forth. But one last thing, because we are running out of time, so we got a lot more movie stuff to talk about next week, because just a lot of it's the golden age of the geek, man. So many cool things are coming out, but there's a special one that I think we're only going to get maybe on Blu-ray or, you know, by a pirate ship perhaps. But
yeah. Called
Guardians, the USSR version of Guardians. When I first heard the title, I'm like, oh, they're ripping off Guardians of the Galaxy, right? They're
USSR.
I did read USSR. USSR. Anyway,
it's not the USSR anymore.
I know, but I like it. That's what I grew up with, man. So I don't know who put that there, but I dig it.
For the folks at home, because we had Guardians listed twice on our list here, I made a distinction USSR just to point out that this was the Russian film.
I dig it, though. That's what I grew up with, was the USSR. I know it's not there anymore, but it's a nice little throwback. It's like the Iron Sheik, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I first watched this trailer, I don't know, months ago, maybe even a year ago, like, oh, that's kind of like Bucky Barnes mixed with something else. But then as I really watched it and got out of my head of they're ripping something off, they're really not. They really are telling their own story. And then the latest trailer I saw for it, it looks so amazing. And I really hope we get legitimate copies to put our hands on in the United States.
It does look really cool. I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, about 10 years ago now.
Are you going to talk about the vampire one? Daywatch?
There was Nightwatch and then Daywatch.
Yes! I love that!
They also came out of Russia, and they were really well crafted.
Oh, those are so good.
And the storytelling is a little, you know, the interesting part when you see cinema from other countries that aren't part of the whole Hollywood thing is you get to see different styles of storytelling. And that was one of the things that I really liked about it, is that it had a different pacing and everything. It was interesting. But artistically beautiful. I mean, they did some really cool effects and stuff. And so I'm excited to see what happens with this.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, man. I watched that stuff, I don't know, back when I was at the office and watched a ton of stuff. I came across that and I heard about the I think it's based on a comic book or a game or something. But
yeah,
that culture tells stories so differently. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know how there's films that have the Blair Witch shaky cam that's supposed to be real?
Uh-huh.
They tell that Daywatch story, or Nightwatch first, and then Daywatch, and there's a third one, I think.
Right.
But they tell it kind of in that format, but it doesn't look like that format at all. You don't feel like it's, oh, another cheesy shaky cam. It's like, no, you feel like you're in the story going, this is how it would happen. And man, those were so good. I have no idea if the same people are doing Guardians, but that culture and how they tell the story is definitely different, and I'm looking forward to it. All right. Any last things you want to say, Chris?
Nope.
You're not Chris. Shut up.
Rude.
I yield my time to the Right Honorable Gentleman from Upper State New York.
Thank you, good sir, my Honorable Kansian. So one last thing I did want to announce is we got news about John Boyega being cast as Idris Elba's character's son in Pacific Rim 2. Nice. We're going to talk about Pacific Rim 2 again next week. Is there a trailer for that out, by the way?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about some of the exciting projects that are coming up. Yeah. We're going to talk about a few things next week, but John Boyega has announced that he's been cast as, you know, the character that Idris Elba played son in the forthcoming Pacific Rim 2. So that's really exciting because, you know, let's put him in all the awesome franchises.
Did yeah. Idris Elba die?
Yes, I believe he did.
In in real life.
No.
So why couldn't he play his own son? Again, I'm telling you, Idris Elba should play every role.
Shave the mustache, put a little makeup, make him look younger. He could totally do that.
Yeah.
He could totally do that. That's awesome.
Well, they could just do the trick they did with Anthony Hopkins on Westworld recently.
I haven't watched that yet.
Make him look like 40 years younger. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. All right, next week, if we remember, we're definitely going to hit some upcoming projects. We're probably going to talk about Black Mirror. I gotta watch that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Bot said it's cringeworthy. I don't know, man. We'll have to find out.
Oh, man, episode one is so cringe. And not cringe like it's gory or gross or scary. Cringe like Curb Your Enthusiasm or The Office, that like where you're just like so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I will say this much. Bryce Dallas Howard was amazing. Like, she was really excellent. So, yeah.
Very, very cool. Chris, any last words? Yeah, I didn't think so. Shut up. Find us in iTunes and leave us a review. If you write a review in iTunes, we'll start pulling them. We haven't even looked yet. You have to get to a certain number of episodes for you really care to look, because people aren't rating you yet. But go rate us in iTunes. Give us a review. We're not giving anything away for it. We just love you for it. That's what it is. We're giving you our love.
Help us out.
Hashtag need a hug. GiantSizeTeamUp.com, of course, is our home network. We love being all over that place. And give us your support, patreon.com/breakingthepanel. I think it's going to be it for this week. Tune in next week to hear Chris say...
you okay?
Awesome. Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.